Welcome back to the podcast, guys. Today we talk to Marcus Buchecha Almeida. We talk a little bit about day in the life, kind of what his day looks like. And then we also go into a little bit about the Pan Ams, some of the results and some of the people that were impressive. And then we just kind of end up with talking about heel hooks and how they're now allowed in IBJJF 2021. So without further ado, let's dive right in. Buchecha, thank you very much for jumping on, man. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for the invitation. Always a pleasure.
So you do a bunch of stuff, Buchecha, but let's just to give somebody like a framework of what's an average day like for you. Like, let's take us through your morning. Like, what are you doing when you wake up? Are you brushing teeth, playing video games? What's an average morning for Buchecha look like?
Yeah, like my life is changing so much lately. And especially this year, about this like crazy year, crazy change, like I decided to get different ways of my life. So it's pretty much, of course, always training. But now I wake up, have my breakfast, and get ready to go to my first session and go to train.
But what's a breakfast for you? You a big breakfast guy? Are you like you change it up, or are you a simple like, hey, I do this and this is my breakfast every single time?
Being honest, like I had the same breakfast that I have when I'm competing, when I'm training. I like to have the same thing that I have been doing for years. So
it's what is working. That? What is that?
If it works, you don't change, right? That's when the team is working, is winning. You don't change.
So what you're saying is you eat the same boring breakfast every single day, or like
Of course, like
what is it like, what are we eating?
I like to make like omelet, spinach, cheese, feta cheese, and my protein shake, you know, with all the superfoods and yogurt, Greek yogurt, trying to play like really hell.
Wow. You know, like, well, what's the morning like? You wake up at 10 a.m. or are you an early riser? You wake up at 5, 6 a.m. and do a run on the beach and circuits, or you wake up at like,
come on, like, I'm not an early guy. I try to wake up 8, 9 the latest, because like this session is always like around 10, 11. So I'm not going to
say you wake up at 8 o'clock, man. That's kind of late for some people. Like that's early for you. That's early for you. What time do you wake up on
the
weekend?
What do you expect me to hear? Like, say like, no, I wake up 6 a.m., read my book, you know, walk on the beach. Like, no. I wish. About the book part, I try to at least like read some pages every day, you know, try to create that habit. But
man, you're reading books? Jeez, man.
But not in the morning, at night. You know, that's something before to go to bed.
To go to sleep.
Yeah, so in the morning, I don't work really well in the morning.
So you tell me you eat an omelet
every single
day, Monday through Friday, at least.
And I like to of course, mix with some tapioca too, because I try to avoid the bread.
Okay.
You know, because the flour and everything. So remember one time that I bring you tapioca?
Yeah,
for you.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, but you messed up. You never made it. So
I made it, but I think I made it the wrong way. It started to crumble. And you're like, oh no, you have to press it down or something.
So I don't know. But I because sometimes it's hard to find here.
Okay, stop. You're saying omelet. You're from Brazil. Omelet in Brazil is with tapioca.
No, not necessarily. You can mix the tapioca and the egg, like mix together, then becomes like a crepioca.
Do you make crepiocas or do you do egg sometimes?
Yeah, I like tapioca. To mix stuff like that. Then sometimes tapioca too, but you know, if
crepioca,
you eat tapioca,
I've never heard that.
Crepioca.
Is that a real thing or you just made it up right now?
No, that's real. It's the same thing that the omelette that you do when you mix together, but you add the tapioca. You know what I mean? So it becomes like kind of like a crepe.
A different consistency.
Kind of like a crepe. You know what I mean? So it's good because you have the carbs and the protein together.
So you're doing an egg omelette sometimes. Sometimes a tapioca omelette.
Yeah.
Sometimes a crepioca. Sometimes. So, and a shake. That's your breakfast 80% of the time, maybe.
I feel like Alex Atala, like a chef in the morning.
You're very, very sophisticated, man. You're very sophisticated. So that's your morning breakfast. So,
yeah.
So after you eat your morning breakfast, what's it like after that? You normally like chilling for a little bit and then you like, okay, I got to train at like 10, 11. What's it look like after that?
Man, as a good Brazilian, I always like running late. I'm never late, but
that's a stereotype, by the way. That's a stereotype. That's not all Brazilians are late.
That's like my mother. She's like always late for her. Like,
not all Brazilians are late.
Yeah, but like
a lot are. Maybe a lot. Would you say a lot of Brazilians are late?
Yeah, most of them. I'm not lying. Like, my dad is like a British, you know, with time. But my mother is always late, so I got that for her. But you know, so I eat right away after I'm done. I go straight to the practice. So that's, I leave my house, even eating breakfast, I leave my house right away and I go to the first practice.
And when's your first practice normally? 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, noon? Do you have a noon practice?
Yeah, it's pretty much like 11.
Okay.
And like 11, 10, 12, depends of where I am, depends where I'm training. I need to be fresh. So I think it makes no sense to wake up like really early, 6 a.m., go work out, do it like a strength conditioning, and then go to the jiu-jitsu practice or MMA practice, whatever I'm doing. So the first training of the day, I want to give my best. So that's why I don't like to do something before. Of course, I can do anything else, but I mean, talking about like training-wise, make no sense. So that's why I like to do my first workout of the day, the one that I give my best first. Because the second of the day is always going to be something to complement the first one. So never like the most important.
Got it. And for lunch, do you normally go big lunch also? Or do you go, or do you kind of keep it mellow? Or how do you like your lunch?
Yeah, right after the practice, I'm not the kind of guy that like run away, right? Go straight, okay, done, okay, see you guys, and go to shower and like leave. I like to hang out a little bit with my friends because the friends that you train with, your training partners, is pretty much become like the people that you see the most. Most of the times I see them way more than my family.
For sure.
Because you're spending so much time with them. And I like to hang out because like they are my friends, of course, and like to have a good time, get some stretch, and then take a shower and then go straight to lunch. Because like I live by myself, so I'm always running around, so I don't have time to go home and cook like lunch every time. So lunch is all the time I'm eating out, you know. I never like cook at home for lunch. So I go straight to lunch. And yeah, being honest, I learned that from my dad. You don't really pick. You eat whatever is on the table, you know what I mean? So I don't care too much about the diet. Of course, I try to eat clean.
If you can.
Yeah, I mean, but I avoid like the bad foods, the junk food or whatever. But most of the restaurant that I eat the most here in California is Chipotle, you know, believe it or not. So it's like,
yeah, people don't understand that. Like, it's kind of crazy, but you were saying that, I think you were telling, I think this might even been like a year or two ago. Like you said it before, but that's like my favorite spot to go to. That's consistent. Not maybe your favorite, but like if you like, you're eating there at least like once a week, would you say? Like,
oh man, once a day.
What?
You got that wrong. I mean, like, because
once a day, Chipotle, that's crazy.
Why, man? It's like
rice. And you change it up, right? You change it up. You eat a bunch of different things there, or do you eat the same thing every single day?
I make sure that I use all the menu. So no, because like, man, it's like, it's something that I eat pretty much every day in Brazil, rice and beans and the protein, you know, some salad, of course. So it's like similar. It's the most similar. I just don't eat the tortilla, and that's like a good like meal for me. But of course, I try to mix. I go to a lot of different places, but I try to get something that I used to do my whole life.
If you could get a sponsorship from Chipotle, would that change your life? Like, would you?
Oh my God, it would be perfect.
Would that be like a dream, like in like a big goal in life? Like you landed at Chipotle.
Not dream, but would be like something that would make a lot of sense in my life.
It would make you very happy too.
Yeah.
Maybe not a dream, but you would be very happy.
Yeah. Come on, man. Dream is not dream, but would make the culture happy. Would like, because man, I'm the kind of guy that I spend a lot of my money with food, because I'm not the guy that care too much about like expensive clothes. And you know, I got the best sponsors ever. Like I got like Ruka clothes. So what
you are wearing? You are wearing a little fancy shoes. I'm not used to seeing you wearing fancy shoes. I mean, you're wearing some like you're wearing some Stan Smith Adidas white classic green. Like,
you know, I got
Bushesha 3 years ago wouldn't have been wearing those, man. What's been going on with you?
You know, I got good mentors, you know. Bear, I got bad, so I can come here like with the old Brazilian style. Yeah, to show that I'm learning. I'm here, I'm 10 years in America. I'm American now, so
would you say you've changed then? You've changed a little bit, maybe not your values, but just some other things in your life. Like,
come on, if you say I'm changing, that's too strong. People can get that wrong. You know what I mean? So like, I'm getting like my style is changing.
Your style is changing. Style.
Me, I am the same.
Inside, you're still the same, but your physical appearance may change.
Now you sound better. Now, you know what I mean? Let's say like that.
Because if people say, man, Bushesha, you change, that goes straight to the ego. That means values. Right.
People going like, sounds like personally, like saying that about myself, my personality, like with my friends and family. So I never change.
You never change.
I'm the same.
Just your outfits.
I'm learning.
I'm not going to lie. Your personalities stay true for a long period of time, and I don't know how that's happened, because that's kind of hard to do. But
your
physical appearance, what you wear, what you do.
Sometimes friends say I change.
Really?
Yeah, but sometimes the guys cry for you in the office that saying that I change, but then they got back and they apologize and said that I'm the same.
But isn't it okay to change, or would you like to be the same person you were 10 years ago, wearing the same thing and not changing? How do you feel about?
I think life is about getting better, and our life is about like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like growth?
Growth and evolving. Like
evolving.
Yeah, you know, so I think life is about that. Of course it is. Not just about the style and about how the outfit that you wear, but about like life, right? When you grow, you're changing a lot of your hair. I remember I said with you 10 years ago, you asked me, how do you see yourself in 5 years? Then in 5 years, how do you see yourself in 5 years? So, man, I remember like the first answer that 10 years ago I said.
You're like, what? Like world champion? Like I'm winning the world championship again.
But 10 years later, damn, it's my mind is like, I'm like a completely different person in this aspect. Like how I used to think, how I am now. I was 20 years old. Now I'm 30 years old. Of course, I want to be a world champion back in the day. And now I'm 13 times world champion. I am in the Guinness Book. I made something that nobody in the planet did. So I'm the only one that can say like, okay, I'm the one, the most world title. So I never thought in 10 years ago that I would do something like that. So it was something really special. So of course, my life, like different goals for the next 5 years, for the next 10 years. So it's always changing. It's always getting better. It's always growing. That's how I see. So back in the day, 10 years later, like, why he's asking me that? You know what I mean? So now makes a lot of sense. I would ask him, like a kid of 20 years old this, and he's probably going to think the same thing that I was thinking. But now I'm more in your spot, in your shoes. You know what I mean? That's how I see that.
Got it. Because of the growth and time and maturity.
Yes, like exactly.
You've accomplished some different things. So now you can focus on other things now.
Exactly. Yeah. I came from nowhere. My family didn't like, my family is not a family from traditional from the sport or any sport. So like my dad is a simple guy that came fighting for, like he left the countryside, went to the big city. Then he started working, met my mother, had family, never had like a family behind supporting with money and everything. But of course he had family, and then me and my sister born. So we had everything that he provided us, like a good education and good, like great education, actually, like everything that he could. But I never thought that would be something big, be someone big in the sport, and I became. So it's something that wasn't like really expected, and it happened in my life. So that's why I'm saying, like, people think, where can I go? Where, like, people ask themselves, oh, what can I do? Like, complain about, like, oh, about my... People find a lot of excuses. But, man, if I see it. If I made, everyone can make. You know, just it just need to work hard. And I think the secret was like mix the something that you're passionate about it, and with hard work. I think that's the secret of the success.
And pivoting on that a little bit, Bhushesh, what about the let's fast forward that and kind of close with the day in the life. But going into the Pan Am just happened. And it was first tournament in a long time. What'd you think about it in general? Were you excited? Some good fights, same fights, new blood, old blood. What do you think? What'd you think of it? A lot of people missing for sure, but
yeah, man, being honest, like I was like, because especially now I'm kind of like focused on my MMA debut. I'm not really thinking about like, oh man, should I fight or should I not? Do I gonna miss? Like stuff like that. So first of all, saying I was watching the tournament and I didn't feel the willing to compete at all.
Ah, that's interesting.
The Pan Ams. But I don't have that since 2013 because I was watching my fights and my last fight of Pan Ams was with Andre Galvão.
Okay.
Was one of the best fights that I had.
Yeah.
Because Andre is such a legend and man, one of the best grapplers, the best jiu-jitsu fighters ever. But if you watch the fight, in the end of the fight, when I win, it wasn't something that I didn't even celebrate.
Yeah, I got it.
Because like, of course I was happy, but I felt more like I was feeling too much the obligation to win.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I was the world champion, open weight. So it wasn't a good feeling.
Got it.
I feel like, okay, now I have, okay, now the weight is out of my shoulder.
For sure.
So I didn't like that. So I said, you know what? I don't want that pressure anymore. It's too much pressure and not like, it's not satisfaction.
So you kind of, have that same feeling watching this, like you're like, it's not like there's like, you don't have the pressure of wanting to be there as much, which is
no,
kind of like
for Pan Ams.
For Pan Ams,
you know what I mean? Yeah, so I don't know how it's going to be in my head for sure. Watching the words.
For sure.
But I was secure of that since 2013. And after Pan Ams, like I promised myself 2013, I said, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm done with Pan Ams.
Yeah.
But I never had this feeling with the words. Every time we win a world title, it's your feeling like...
But you're relating it back to kind of just how, like, trying to give an honest thing. Like, you've never felt that way about Pan Am, so it's never been that way watching this Pan Am's
person. No, yeah, it was the same.
Well, what do you think about the fights, though? Like, you know, you had people that won the absolute, right? You had Philippe Andrew and Braguinha. They kind of, man, was kind of safe. The way
You know what I mean? It's not really excited like as used to be before.
Yeah, but why do you think that is? You think it's just the pressure to win?
No, I mean, it was a good fight.
It was
Philippe put a lot of pressure. I think
it was a good strategic fight.
Three advantage against one.
Yeah.
Like, was one move.
Yeah.
Like, that defined like all the advantages.
For
sure. He put some pressure. But, of course, everybody wants to play safe. And
they're both really technical and good, so it's really hard to score.
Braguinha is a great guy, too. And, of course, Philippe put the pressure and didn't play his game. But I think the level is so high nowadays that people don't really like fight anymore. Everybody wants to
win
no matter what. And that's something that I learned with Leo, my master. Like, people will remember about you, how you fight, not about your titles. Of course, the titles will help, but people will remind about you because of the way that you fight.
But you have, Braguinha loses to Philippe Andrew in the absolute finals. There's a bunch of other fights that happen. Who else? Was there anybody that stood out to you that like you were kind of interesting? The interesting fight was the Mateus fight versus the kid from Manaus. That was like an interesting fight. He lost.
Mateus Gabriel,
like he's a teammate, you know, so, and he's also super talented.
Mateus Gabriel was something that, being honest, really surprised me to see he's losing because...
Me too. He's a really good, really fun
but
to watch.
But if you watch the fight, okay, but the kid won was really good.
Very strategic in playing the rules.
Very strategic.
So,
I mean, watching the kid, you got to give props for because he knows the rule really well. But... he wasn't the really exciting fight because he did the points and he was kind of
playing very safe.
Yeah, playing very safe.
Very defensive.
And a very defensive. So
playing the out of bounds the whole time.
Yeah. Exactly. Do you think so? Jiu-jitsu is about being offensive and getting the submission. So I don't like this style. But man, being honest, like
he won the fight.
He got the title. So
let's go back into that fight specifically, because I think that brings up an interesting point. Like, and people have been talking about this forever. Like, do you think there should be some like out of bounds? Because that's a crazy thing with the rule set in IBJJF. It's like, you're like, okay, it's not consistent. You get pulled out of bounds sometimes and they stop it with the points, or they're like, oh no, we'll give you the advantage, or we'll give you the points for running out of bounds, right? Now we'll drag you in. There is no defined rule. Sometimes it's they pull you in, sometimes they don't. Do you think it's just simple, like, hey, you go out of bounds, you know, you get a penalty. If like sumo or other things where it's like, it doesn't matter whose fault it is. Once you step on the line, that's a point. There is no more drag in. There is no more advantage. It's like,
It's hard to say, you know what I mean? It's
but there has to be a rule, because right now the rule's not enforced.
Like, if like asking like that, what I think it's, I have to think about, because, but it's really clear. Sometimes like people are on the back and like the guy is almost on the back, the guy got a single leg, and the other guy is like, you know, the guy's like in the bad spot.
For sure.
And then he try like a fake takedown, both guys go out of bounds and nothing happens. So,
for sure.
So of course the guy needs to be like penalized for that somehow.
Yeah.
And the other guy gets some like credit.
Well, this is every tournament, right? This is not just this tournament. It happens every tournament. But that's a good example. You have Mikey Musumeci. He fought, you know, of course I'm biased because we sponsor Mikey, but that's the same thing. Mikey had, what's the kid's name?
Orlando.
He had his back like twice at the end, and then they went out of bounds. Well, Mikey was on the crab right, already on the back, but they were outside and they...
I didn't watch this whole fight, but Mike almost got his back.
Yeah, like twice almost. And he was right there at the edge, right? So the rest of the match, you know, Orlando won. Like, that was, but like, it was one of those things where it's like, you're almost on the back.
Exactly.
And like, you went out, like, is that advantage? Is that no points? But then on other matches, they were like, some kids got on the bat and they're at the edge, and then they're like, they dragged him in.
Yeah, so exactly. So at the same point, you know the rules.
Yeah.
So, you know, people play that
for sure.
So if you're fighting and you know the rules, so you better like fight, go to the best move.
Yeah.
Or like even myself, well, I remember when I was fighting, I was about to do something. Then I said, hey, ref, you want us to go to the center?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to talk to ref. Yeah. But I know when I, but I mean,
for sure,
you couldn't like penalize me for saying that, because I knew it would be scrambling.
You know, the game.
Well, I know the game.
Sure.
But like, I see people nowadays, they don't even think. They see they fight on the yellow line.
It's crazy.
Yeah, they don't know.
But that's bad strategy. That's bad strategy.
Horrible. Like, but they need to start thinking. If they want to compete, you don't need to be the tough guy on the gym that hits the wall and keep going. There's no wall in the tournament. So you gotta like be smart if you want to be a competitor. If you want to win.
Do you think the best competitors have that always in mind? You're like, hey, this is the line. I'm not gonna go. I'm not gonna power through the single leg if I know you're gonna circle out. Like,
the guy that start showing the world this was Leandro Lo. He always the one that used the best. Nowadays people learn from him, but he was the best one using that for sure.
Lepre's also really good in watching the line. If someone's gonna take him, he'll like spin out.
Exactly.
Or if you see someone's like running out of bounds, he'll circle and he'll push them back
exactly.
in.
Exactly. I see that of course Lepre is good there. I remember I used to pay attention a lot of the callers, because when you see, you can watch that from Lepre fighting against Renato Canuto in the final. He was playing really, because Renato is really good with that. He got like a takedown, like right in the line and scramble.
But Lepre will circle back around and push him back into the middle.
He always like kind of like run the pipe.
Yeah, that was wild. It was so impressive. Like your exact same one. That was impressive.
That was like really good about doing
strategy.
And that's how he got the point. It was 2-0 the fight, I think. And I remember one I got this example was me against Ebert.
Okay.
When I got the single leg, I pushed him, then I run, changed the direction, and got the takedown in the center. Of course, it was like, but you got to be a good ref too.
That's true.
Because one thing, a lot of refs, they see the guy going towards the line, they say stop.
Yeah.
But jiu-jitsu is hard to connect something, especially nowadays.
It's momentum. It's all momentum.
Exactly. If you break the momentum
half a second, it's dead. Exactly. That move doesn't work.
So you gotta let, the ref needs to be like, gotta let the fight goes a little bit. You know, of course, if you go a lot of bounce, okay, stop. But the rule is like really changed because people say, oh, the rule is not difficult. Okay, so but I saw like Vitor Doria, he's a great guy. Yeah. He's like really good with the commander.
Yeah,
but he said one thing that, just one thing that I didn't agree with him.
Uh-huh.
He said, the rules are not difficult, but it's all about the referee interpretation. But so,
that's
it's
crazy.
About interpretation or it's about like rule book, you know what I mean?
No, so it's all rules.
Exactly.
It's all
you need
rules.
To be a rule.
It's all rules.
I think it's not about interpretation.
That's too great.
So I think if it, like, if I think one way, you think a different way.
Who's right?
Yeah, exactly.
For
so
sure.
It's not about interpretation. So that's the only thing that I didn't agree with him because he did the transmission with Flow Grappling. So it was, that was the only thing that I didn't agree.
Yeah.
Because I think interpretation, that's something that.
It's opinion.
It's opinion.
It's
opinion. So you don't want to be opinion. So I like
everybody has different opinions.
Man, if like I'm supposed to be the ref, a lot of guys, well, I would like disqualify both of the guys
for
because
sure.
of no active, you know what I mean? No action. But it's not about my opinion, it's about rules. So that's one thing that I don't agree.
Yeah.
And the ref is like should let the scramble, the brawl, like going a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like people going almost a step in the yellow
like,
line.
Stop.
Okay, stop.
Yeah.
Like you kill the momentum. You kill the
for
fight.
Sure.
You kill the fight. You know
for sure.
I mean? So,
for
like,
sure.
That's one thing that I don't like.
And people don't understand how hard it was to get in on that single, how hard it was to get in on that crab ride, how hard it was to get like almost on
exactly.
the back.
Like
you know,
Massey, like you said, he got like two off. Man, he was like a lightweight. He's the best light fighter, right? No, light fighter. He's like the best light fighter in the world. Yeah. But he's a light fighter.
Yeah.
He had like one shot.
you know that, right? Like if you're that light,
one
if
shot,
you're that light.
And the guy killed the shot, like killed the momentum.
You're done.
That's it.
Especially when you're like 80 pounds heavier, 90
exactly.
pounds heavier.
That's what I'm saying. But if he's like the same guy did the division, okay.
Maybe he has another chance.
He got again,
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
But like a heavy guy, no way.
Yeah.
So that happened. Like the guy knew.
Yeah.
Like if somebody go to your back, you go almost out of bounds and boom, roll out.
Part of the game, yeah. They'll stop it. Okay, so I think we both think the same thing on the Pan Ams. It was okay. It had some good fights and some interesting fights. But, you know, let's see what worlds look like. But to pivot a little bit, like I'll pivot on that, let's talk about that new rule that just happened. IBJJF saying that that heel hooks are now going to be allowed in.
Yeah,
in
no, before talking about Pan Ams too, one thing that was a lot of people talking about, I want to hear your opinion too.
On what?
Felipe Andrew and Arnaldo.
I didn't see the fight. How did it go?
Arnaldo got arm triangle.
Okay.
And the ref disqualified Felipe Andrew for running out of the bounds.
Okay, but so, how did so
and Felipe
so Arnaldo
Andrew,
won?
Arnaldo won.
Ah, okay.
So it was a lot of people talking, oh, he wasn't running. No, he was running. So if you didn't see the fight, so that's why I ask your opinion.
If he should have or not?
Yeah, what you think? You know what I mean?
Well, if you ran out of... I don't know how you run out of arm.
Yeah, because that's, you need to watch to kind of like give your opinion there. You know what I mean? Because I train with Arnaldo, man,
yeah.
And he's one of the strongest guys when he locked.
In
he
that position.
So in my opinion, he would get the submission.
Got it.
And he was trying to pull the Felipe inside and kind of Felipe. But Felipe wasn't running.
Yeah.
But he was kind of like trying to defend for real.
Get away, yeah.
But... Or these, you have to step back or get out of the down triangle. And then he got disqualified.
Man.
But I'm not saying that he was running to get out of bounds and stop the fight. But he, at some point, he dropped the knees on the mat, you know. So Arnaldo would submit him. I tapped him a lot for the position.
Yeah.
So
yeah, for sure.
I think, in my opinion, like, wasn't like... really running to get the like
he was
away.
Truly trying to defend
he,
right?
really, he was trying to defend but the rule is
the rule is you go out if you're in a submission
out, yeah exactly you know
yeah
that's my opinion about that
yeah for sure.
And you ask about the heel hooks, right?
Yeah, so I mean on that going into the heel hooks, what's your idea on
with the gi too or no
I think it's just from what I've seen. You think it's good, bad? You think it's much needed, or do you think you don't like
much
it?
Much needed.
Much needed. Should have happened a long time ago, you think?
Yeah, never should live. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, if you, of course, you're not doing heel hooks for white and blue belts, it's for brown and black. If you're brown and black, you're supposed to defend yourself.
Yeah, no, for sure. Wouldn't you say like, even if you're at blue belt level, if you're competitive, if you're competing, that you should be, you should at least be starting to like explore it a little bit. Like, I know it's kind of early, maybe purple belt, right? But like, I'm just saying, like, do you think it's okay, you know, for them to do it? I think this is a good start, right? Brown to black, but maybe eventually we'll get to purple and blue, maybe.
Yeah. Well, what exactly do you mean for the
lower belts? Like, you know, like, I know, like, it's just a start. Normally, like, the Federation likes to start slow, and then maybe they'll start to adopt it with other ones.
I think, man, being honest, I think purple belt should be legal, all right? Okay. Because if you're purple belt, we're training a lot of brown and black. But white and blue,
it's still kind of early. Yeah, you're right.
So I think it's too easy to get hurt.
Yeah,
but
it's true.
Purple, you know what you're doing. You're
yeah,
purple
for
belt.
Sure. For sure.
You're not there like hanging out. So I think because like leg locks and foot locks, toe holds are legal for brown and black since like a long time ago.
For sure. For sure.
And if you don't know how to defend a heel hook, how you want to call yourself a fighter? You know what I mean? So
that's like, true.
So all the events besides IBJJF, they are doing heel hooks.
Anyway.
And I think IBJJF felt that. They're losing a lot of attention for those events. And so I said, oh, man, like, we're behind. So it makes no sense.
So I have an interesting point on that. Do you think now this also finally maybe minimizes some of the edge for some of the, say, the Europeans or the Americans or the Asians or other countries that do very well? And I'm just using countries besides Brazil, right? Because Brazil wins at everything in jiu-jitsu. Uh-huh. But I'm just saying, do you think this now starts to give the Brazilians a new level of focus, saying, hey, like, we have to start playing with this rule set? And I'm not talking about the elite or the best athletes, because you, Lepre, uh-huh. and you guys have always been good at heel hooks.
Yeah.
I'm talking about just like the base layer of athletes that are like maybe yeah. not so skilled. So now, like,
yeah, and like, I don't think it's right to say like, oh, Americans, like Europeans or Brazilians, because I think everybody, the game is changing.
Yeah, yeah, for
you
sure,
can
for
see
sure.
like guys that are good like leg lockers, so they are like, it's not about like new generation, old generation, but
what I felt like before, that's what gave some Americans the edge, because they couldn't beat Brazilians in some of these areas. Like, they weren't as good passing, they weren't as good technically.
Yeah.
So I'm just using American yeah. as an example.
Yeah, because a lot of people focus so much in just that. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Of course, like, people like just leg locks, like heel hooks, and they focus so much, of course they're gonna get better. But
for
then
sure.
they
for
forget
sure.
out the rest.
So Bishesh, what do you think about the IBJJF thing on allowing heel hooks now at brown and black? Do you think it's good now?
Man, that's supposed to be a rule change a long time ago. That was my opinion. Yeah. Make no sense. Like, oh, okay, you cross the knee line and this, like, a lot of disqualification because of that. So it makes no sense. If you are brown and black, you're supposed to know how to defend yourself, how to defend a heel hook. So it's something that should be done a long time ago.
And then the same point, right? Like, there's people that have made their careers off of being good at heel hooks, right?
Yes.
Like, you know, like, Brazilians have basically killed everybody forever, right? And then, you know, there's been maybe some Americans that have been a little better at heel hooks, not than the Brazilians, but just like they've had a little like area where they've had an edge against some of the people from Brazil. Now, of course, not like you and Felipe Pena and guys, you know, Lepre and a lot of guys. Like, there's also very good top level grapplers from Brazil that are very good at defending a lot of this stuff and very well versed in it. But I'm just wondering if now that changes the game a little bit and just starts to make, like, not only Brazil, right? But like, it makes the Europeans, it makes the Americans yeah. better. But now, let's say heel hooks are not really that much of a thing now. Of course, they're still going to be a thing, but it seems like it goes in waves. Like, it's popular
yeah.
for 5 years. People get good at defending it. It goes away.
Yeah.
Then it comes back. What's your thoughts on that?
I think you're right. I think I agree with you. like you're saying, Brazilians was like dominant for a long time. And then the Americans knew like it was hard to beat them. Then they start training something else, was the heel hooks, because the Brazilians, I don't know why, but there was like the culture. We didn't train that much heel hooks in Brazil.
I think because before, I think like culturally old school, it's considered kind of like cheap. Like no, old world. Not our time, but foot they're locks, like, yeah. Like, oh, you don't pass the guard. You can't pass the guard. Yeah, that's why you footlock.
But the thing is like the Brazilians focus so much in the gi.
Yeah, for sure.
So of course, make no sense to go heel hook with the gi because like...
It's not allowed.
Yeah, it's not allowed. Yeah. And like you can't escape. There is no slippery. So yeah, there is a lot of friction. So yeah, it's really easy to get hurt.
For sure.
So, and Brazilians focus like way more in the gi. So I think that's why cultural, because when you take the gi off,
yeah,
you don't have like me. That's, I consider myself a gi fighter, right? Yeah. That's my whole career.
Yeah.
But if I get an invitation to fight the DCC, I say, yeah.
For sure.
Let's do it. And what do you do? Train 8 weeks without the gi.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get really good in 8 weeks. And you're not going to like perfect the heel hooks, attacks, and escapes. But
for sure.
Like, now talking about myself, that's how I see it. But a lot of people did the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
And
do you think that helps it overall? Like, and you think it kind of like evens it out a little bit more and like changes it a little bit more? Like, as a.
Well, I think people realized that there was like something, a weakness for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And now everybody's training. So soon it's not going to be something that people are like terrified about heel hooks. That was all was that happened with 50-50.
Birbolo. Yeah.
With
footlocks. Treating
so in the first year, oh my God, it should be banned. People don't think about, oh my God, we need to learn how to defend.
We need to adapt.
The first thing when people lose, people say, oh no, that should be illegal.
For sure.
Like,
for
that's a weak. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It happens every time. Every new thing.
Oh, double pull guard. Like beating bolo. Oh, that should be illegal. No, we just need to train. We just need to figure out.
That's, it's a part of the evolution.
There's an evolution. Yeah. And like you see nowadays, somebody go to the arm guard, it's like just like a half guard.
Yeah,
just like
a spotter guard. Sure.
People know how to pass.
Defend it,
So it's happening with the heel hooks, I see too. Of course. Even the guys that are really good with heel hooks, they're still winning, but it's not because of the heel hooks anymore, because they got better with the...
They're good at everything now.
Yeah, they're good at everything now. So that's the thing.
True, I agree.
That's how I see. So the heel hooks being allowed will have the... will make the jiu-jitsu get much better.
It'll speed up the no-gi process of the evolution of it, right?
For everyone.
Yeah.
So I think we'll...
It's a good thing.
A great thing.
Yeah.
And IJJF was losing a lot of attention to those
other events, promotions and events that allow them.
Because the make no sense. Like, it was like the stupid thing, the most stupid thing that I ever seen in my life. The guy's playing, the fight is going really good. Then your foot passed like the knee line for like...
You're like DQ. You're like, DQ, what?
Because like a stupid movement that you didn't hurt your guy. Like,
the guy initiated it.
Yeah. So like, was like no sense. But it's a process. Like, IJJF is trying to get like make the rules better. So,
and they're a big federation. It takes time.
Yeah, it takes time. As everything.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't say they are not doing a great job.
Yeah.
Because like Worlds is like Pan Ams is like it's a great show. It's really organized. So they're trying their best. But I still think a lot of rules need to be changed
for sure to make it progress the sport faster, make it better.
And they can't be cheap with the referees. Because they want to like save money, you know. If you gotta get a good ref, you gotta pay the price. So otherwise, you're gonna have like a lot of people complain about your event forever.
You pay for what you get, right? You pay for what you get,
and that's why I see. I never saw like a good comment about the referee about these Pan Ams. Never see a good comment, just bad comment. That was bad refs, bad decisions, bad.
So what is it? Bad refs, bad rules, bad competitors. Man, they got to figure something out, right? I mean, and they're doing their best, right? I mean, like, let's not like put it online just because they're doing a fantastic job.
But
at the same time, like, shit, man, like, let's try and look at this rule set. And I know it's a big thing to change. A lot of people are going to be pissed off, but like,
I think they are being too soft, especially with the disqualification,
the DQs.
The DQs.
Yeah.
If you're stalling, I see a lot of refs them being really hard with the first and the second penalty, but then they got soft. They don't want to like disqualify.
You almost have to prove a point and be like, hey.
Exactly. So you can't think about like, oh, it's the first one. Okay, you're going to penalize. Oh, it's the second. Oh, no, the third one. If I do again, he might get the kill.
For sure.
The rules, the rules.
Yeah.
You can't be emotional.
Yeah.
You got the watch on your wrist. So look at the watch. You know the rule and do what you got to do.
You're like, Fabio's going to be mad at me for DQing his guy. But hey, somebody's got to learn. And
getting back
to the game. Might get mad at me because I DQed his guy in the semifinal. But that's just what it is.
But if you're a good ref, you got to like, you got to
set the tone and the tempo.
People going to blame you 1-2 tournaments. Then after, people going to respect you.
That's true. That is true.
The thing is, like the kid that we were talking that won, beat Matheus Gabriel.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, I was watching him. He knows when to move.
He knows.
When he's about.
Isn't he a ref?
Yes, that's the thing.
The refs are the best competitors.
He plays.
You gotta play the rules.
He plays with the book rule under his wing. You know what I mean?
The specialist.
Exactly. So I see, oh my God, he's supposed to get a penalty now. Then he stand up. Oh, then he like moves.
Yeah, so, for sure.
You know what I mean? So that's not one style that I like.
Yeah,
but it works.
Yeah,
he's playing with the rule.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, closing it up, Bushesh. Where's the closing it up to? We didn't get to your dinner, man. What's your dinner look like? And what are we doing closing up your day and your day in the life? Let's close it with that. How are you sleeping at night? And what are you Netflixing? And what are you thinking of the next day and in the future?
Man, after the lunch, I like to get some rest.
Okay.
Do some stuff at home, man. I like to rest a little bit, do some stuff at home, hang out, watch some TV or whatever. I'm a big fan of movies, so man, I love to watch like Hollywood productions, like
all kinds of stuff,
English productions. And then I get ready for the next session, it's at night, so it's something more technical, some more drilling or conditioning, but not like really hard as the first one of the day. After that, I got some dinner
and so close it up.
Dinner is something that I always like, I try to mix, you know, like, or maybe sometimes I cook at home, but when I'm really tired, of course, I'm lazy. So
grab just, something
at home. Because like I said, I live by myself.
For sure.
I don't want to go home and like
cook a big meal for yourself.
Exactly. Not a big meal, but like, the work.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And after that, I hang out a little bit, watch some TV, watch movie, and then just
close it up.
Yeah, but every day is a new day, but I never was the guy that really think about the future. So I live one day at a time.
That's cool.
So I know I'm just like thinking, oh, how's going to be my next day? I just wake up and go. So
yeah, because I was going to be like, hey, what you thinking the next day? You just answered, you answered the question. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I'm living today. Like that. You know? I just live like that.
Like, I like that.
You asked me, how do you see yourself in 5 years? So like, I don't even know
what tomorrow's going to be.
Yeah, so I don't plan that ahead, but man, my life has been great. I have no regrets. I have no complaints. And I've been like that for 30 years. So why
it's not a bad
do thing. I gonna change right now?
I agree, man.
It's working. So it's always like,
we're here today, right?
Yeah, we're here today. We're live.
It's a good deal. So
yeah, so it's working. You know, like if you're working, if it works like that, you don't change. That's how I see it. And see what's going to be tomorrow.
It's not a bad deal, man. Well, Bushesh, thanks for jumping on, man, and giving us a little breakdown of the day in life in Bushesh and bullshitting with us on some Pan Am shit that we just talked about and some heel hook shit. So I appreciate you talking with us, man.
Thank you guys very much. One more time. Appreciate for the invitation. We got to do that for sure. About words, I would love to comment.
We come in and we'll talk some shit about worlds.
Yeah, why not? Chop it up.
Let's talk again. We'll give the Bushesh a breakdown. We'll talk about all the divisions.
I think that's a good idea, especially because it's going to be the first one that I'm out and I was a favorite for like the last 10 years. So
We'll talk about who said thank you. We'll say, hey, does Victor Hugo, does Mergali, no, does whoever say spot. Thank you
who
so much.
Who do you think going to get the crown for the open way?
I don't know, man.
You got even a name.
I don't know, man. Who's there? You got Hugo, you got Mergali, you got...
Those guys that fall Pan Ams, Felipe Andrew, that just won.
Felipe Andrew could win if he gets smarter and plays the same strategy. Yeah, probably between those three.
So if we get one,
I think Hugo has. I think he's heavier. he's technical. I think he could probably do well. You know, yeah, I don't know where Margali and where Andrew will be. You know, they're kind of like hit or miss.
That's so. What I'm saying. You got a good point. You know, thinking about it. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
The Gisa, if he comes back, I hope he comes back. I'll go with Gisa.
That's exactly. But because of, I don't know how they're training. I don't know how their personal life right now. So a lot of.
But assuming they're all training, and assuming their personal life's okay, where do you put them?
If everybody's training hard,
Felipe Pena will win if he joins. I have my money on Gisa. Yeah, if he fights, honest,
like
if
he for fights. The worst, I would say like final between Leandro and like Pregisa would be something, because Leandro, man, he's like the last 4 years he was in the final.
That is true. I forgot about him. I forgot about Leandro.
Yeah, because
he knows
how to play in the.
I totally forgot about Leandro.
And of course Pregisa too, because he's really motivated. He's gonna be heavier, so I would keep it with the old dogs. You know what I mean?
So instead, about Lowe. That's what's crazy. For sure.
Of course, the new generation can with these guys that you told me, but
that's true.
Man, you see Leandro and Menengai just fought, was a great fight. And BJJ.
Who won?
Was a draw because was no advantage. But good. Leandro would win because of the advantage.
Okay.
But was a draw because
no. You're true. Yeah. I don't know. Like I would say, I take it back. It would be between Lowe, Hugo, of course, how the brackets face up.
But I think,
like you're saying, that depends. If Pena's in, Pena wins for me. If Lowe's and Lowe would probably Lowe and Hugo would probably be my number twos, and then Margali would probably be that wild card that would be on the fourth. See, depending on how stuff. But yeah, that would be mine.
So
let's see.
Bets on. It's gonna be a lot of bets.
We'll bet.
I'll bring my money.
I'm gonna take your money. Everybody's money wants a bet.
We'll see.
It's $1, $5.
You got it.
All right, Vushesh. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, brother. You have a good day, man.
Catch you next time.
Later, guys. That's it for today, guys. Please like and subscribe and jump onto shortroll.com for all the new content that we got dropping every week.